Aloha, Tiki Files. Thank you for joining me for episode 14 of Marooned, a Texas Tiki podcast. My guest this episode is Mark Sellers, owner of Tiki Cat in Kansas City, Missouri. This was an episode I was especially stoked to record because not only did we finally get a chance to visit the bar that was recently named Critiki's number one tiki bar in the world, but by sheer luck, we happened to visit on their one-year anniversary. Now, we didn't find out it was their anniversary until the week we were leaving, and if you follow me on Instagram, you know it was quite the adventure trying to get there, but we made it. Now, before we get into the episode, let me tell you, this bar is incredible. The decor, the drinks, it's got it all. We had a blast hanging out there Saturday night, and the crew working was amazing. If you haven't been there already, you need to do yourself a favor and get there as soon as you can. And tell Pumbaa we say aloha. Just make sure you have a reservation. As always, if you enjoy Marooned, please take a few minutes to review the podcast and Apple Podcasts. That's really the best way to help the podcast grow and reach new listeners. And if you'd like to keep up to date with the podcast, join the Marooned Facebook group. Or if you'd like to follow along with our Tiki travels, follow me on Instagram at DavidFantomatic. We recorded this episode in Tiki Cat about an hour or so before they released all their anniversary mugs, so there may be some errant noises going on as Tiki Cat is located in the basement of Hopcat, which was open at the time. Since Tiki Cat wasn't open, there were no drinks had, but one of their best sellers happens to be the Sidewinder's Fang, so I'll make that the honorary drink of the episode. Thanks again for sticking around for another episode. Keep an eye out, or I guess ear out, for our surprise guest. Now before we get started, hit pause real quick, fire up the Total Tiki app, mix up a Sidewinder's Fang, then sit back, relax, and enjoy episode 14 of Marooned, a Texas Tiki podcast.
Taking a break. I'm on my phone. It's like
I've used that one.
He uses it for everything. Kids laying on the ground, stretched out. We're like, oh, it was to the point where we gotta go home. We lived in this hole too long. Oh, right. That'd be a great hole though.
Probably the best. One of the best, I should say.
How's it going?
It's going weekend. Okay. Are we recording now?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been recording, just getting everybody chatting.
Awesome. Awesome. So, glad I didn't swear too much.
Nah, you're good. We are, I don't know, we're not R-rated, I guess, PG-13.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Oh, shit. No,
so, last night, busy?
Yeah. Well, last night was a lot of fun. We had a private party. The local group called Mocan Tiki, Missouri, Kansas. They call it Mocan Tiki. And they're a group of Facebook Tiki fanatics that comes in pretty regularly. And they've taken really good care of us by being great customers and spreading the word. So we take good care of them. So we had a private event for them last night. And it was just tons of fun when a group of Tiki fanatics all gets together in a Tiki bar.
You know, yeah. So. Well, congrats on the one-year anniversary.
Thank you.
It's nice to make it to that point.
Yeah.
And hopefully beyond that, of course.
It's been, I started my first bar 11 years ago in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's a beer bar. And okay. I started just for fun, not to make money. Mm-hmm. And it was way more successful than I thought it would be. And so now I've opened a bunch of other bars. But I started this one for the same reason. I just wanted it to be cool and fun. I didn't care about making money. But it is doing well because we're busy every night, and so I'm pretty thrilled.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. So was Tiki something that you were into already, or did you just...
Yeah, for sure. I actually, for about 3 years before we opened this place, or actually 4 years before we opened this place, I was talking to him about doing a bar. When I say him, I'm pointing at Bamboo Ben sitting next to me.
Yes, we have a special...
I forgot this is a podcast and not a video. So.
Yeah, we have a special guest, Bamboo Ben, a man who needs no introduction, of course. Yeah.
Ben just shows up just randomly sometimes. You never know when he's going to be there. So
like a minute before today. Hey, Mark, I'm jumping in on your podcast.
I'm like, I thought I was going to be the star for once.
I'll just be here for a minute. I'll be in the background.
No, I'm glad you're here, man. But anyway, I've been talking to him for years about doing one, and I just kept getting distracted by shiny objects, i.e. opening other bars in other places. And finally, we had this Kansas City Hopcat, which is a beer bar chain that I own. We had this basement space that we really didn't have a use for. We didn't need it for storage. We didn't need more seating. We already have a lot of seating upstairs. And it was just perfect for a tiki bar, and I've been wanting to do one for years. So I gave Ben a call, and 6 months later, we were open.
Yeah.
Awesome.
He said,
We wrote it on a napkin. On a napkin.
Mark came 2 years ago to Tiki Oasis. I had him come out. And it was his first time he went to Tiki Oasis. So I set some things up. It was kind of fun. Like, you know, get first in line to get in and all this. And, you know, impress him a little. Which I really didn't have to, but it was fun. And he was just blown away by the whole experience.
And, it was amazing.
So we were at Bali High, and we were writing on a napkin. Let's do this and this. And we just, like, literally a couple scratches.
We kind of came up with a design on a napkin that night.
Yeah.
And then the napkin got lost. We should have framed it.
Then I had actually a blueprint of here, which was just scribbled.
Yeah.
And there was an inspection upstairs or something to be able to get your CBO or whatever. Yeah. So we had to stage this like a real bar, but we're still working on it. So it was this mad rush. All the tools and the supplies had to go into the beer cooler next door.
Yeah.
So my little treasure map that I had, it got missing during that event.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I should.
Someday it'll show up on eBay for $26,000.
Like my free stickers right now. Somebody's selling them for $9.99.
Yeah, I saw that.
You give those things out like candy for free.
If I get them for free, I'm going to give them out for free. So. You know?
But as far as tiki, my first time I went to a tiki bar was Tiki Tea in 2002.
Okay.
And I kind of fell in love with the tiki bar thing, and I traveled a lot for business. This is before I owned bars. I used to be in the financial industry, and I traveled both for business and pleasure, and I would always seek out the tiki bar in whatever town I was in, and most of the time there wasn't one. But I've been to tiki bars in Australia, London, Paris. I
think you've been to every one? Almost.
Every famous one at this point, except I haven't been to Trader Vic's Atlanta.
Okay,
that's a good one. That's old school.
Some of the newer ones, like Hidden Harbor and stuff, I haven't been to yet. And I haven't been to Beach Bum Berries in New Orleans. So
Latitude,
I've got a few on my list.
Yeah, Latitude's definitely nice. They do a lot of really good drinks there. So that's definitely one you should make a priority.
For sure.
I think.
I can write it off too as research.
Yeah, there you go.
Meet you there, Mark.
So what was the build-out process like in terms of getting this up and running?
Well, so after, you know, having opened, this at the time, now I have 19 different bars, but at that time I think this was our 13th or something. So I'd kind of gotten it down to a science in terms of having very strict architectural blueprints. Those construction guys know exactly where everything goes, including the electrical outlets, the lighting. Everything's all pre-planned, right? This place was all done on a napkin, and... It was very kind of loosey-goosey. My construction team hated building this place out because they didn't have blueprints to go from. They had a rough floor plan, and various artists and vendors, or tiki construction guys, and we had a bar guy come in, but it was real kind of loosey-goosey. And you can kind of tell that when you look around, because it definitely doesn't look like corporate or...
Yeah.
You know, it looks kind of like a home bar almost.
It's one of my sayings is perfectly not perfect.
Yeah, perfectly not perfect.
Perfectly not perfect, yeah.
It looks like a tiki bar. It looks like what you would expect and what you would want to see out of a tiki bar. So you definitely did good work, Ben. So one thing that I was wondering, in terms of being from California, I know following some of your other builds, you source a lot of your stuff from Oceanic Arts, all the places in California. How is it getting all that over here?
Just shipping it out.
Just shipping it?
And we had to that's the game, is like you have to, like, you know, when you're building, some things change. You know, a lot of times they change, but it's a fun game because it's like we actually left with, like, maybe we left 3 sticks of bamboo here. Literally. Yeah. I mean, next
you
door.
Used every
we
last
used everything.
Thing.
Yeah. And we have to reconfigure, like, the ceiling. We had to do a couple things because I had to put some pipes in over here and kick stuff in.
The ceilings are only 7.5 feet high here, so we didn't have really any room to to hang things very far, so everything's very close up to the ceiling.
And strategically, like where seating is and stuff, you could put stuff where people aren't going to bonk their heads. And,
yeah.
But I think that's one of the things that makes it look like a home bar.
Yeah.
And a very cozy kind of environment is the low ceiling.
And one thing before, going back to whatever we were talking about before, is that, you know, the napkin drawing and all that and the way that we built and stuff. And it goes back to, like, a lot of trust. Like, Mark, like, had trust in me. And so, you know, when you have that much, when you trust somebody, that it's boom. It becomes magic and it comes out.
Oh, when you're bringing in Bamboo Ben, I think to a certain extent you know what to expect. You know what you're going to be getting. I mean, look at your list of work.
I had visited pretty much all your other tiki bars before.
You found me. I think you found me through the Tiki Nikki one, right?
I found him because when I wanted to do a tiki bar in Grand Rapids, Michigan, it's going on 5 years at this point. I started looking around for somebody who could design it. And, you know, you do a Google search for tiki bar designers and really hardly anything comes up. There's just not many of them.
Yeah.
At this point, I now know there's some good ones like Danny Gallardo and Notch and Bamboo Ben. But at that point, I wasn't sure who to hire. So I found out that Todd Rundgren, who's a, you know, classic rock famous musician.
A huge music
fan. Todd Rundgren owns a bar on Kauai. Hawaii. And
really?
So then I did more Google sleuthing to find out who designed Todd Rundgren's bar, and the name Bamboo Ben came up, and then I went on Tiki Central and followed some of Bamboo Ben's stuff, and I'm like, yeah, okay, I think maybe I'll contact this guy, and one thing led to another.
Shipped me out to Grand Rapids. We were going to build a bar called the Shrunken Head next to one of his other bars. And that had super tall ceilings, so we wanted to, like, stilted and shit. He wanted the water going through.
Different levels. We were going to have a lot of water features. We had that all planned out. In fact, we even had an architect involved that was helping us. And then it just kind of fell through because I had too much other stuff going on.
So that's when all the Hopcats came in, right?
All the what?
When all the Hopcats lined up.
Yeah.
I was supposed to do a Golden Tiki in Vegas, and I told that guy, I said, nah, I'm doing one out in Grand Rapids and stuff.
Yeah, sorry, man. I messed you up.
So it was kind of like, well, I got paid like, not to do it, so it's kind of nice.
Okay.
I got a couple hours in.
Yeah.
Planning and stuff.
Yeah, that's Golden fine. Tiki's cool.
Can't build them all, you know?
Yeah, no, of course.
Fun with me.
Yeah, let somebody else have some fun.
Right.
And, you know, work their back out, I guess.
Yeah, so really quick, back to Tiki Cap. Mark, he ended up sending me, I told, like, we were on the phone. I didn't come here yet or anything. We were on the phone going back and forth, emailing and all that racket. He says, you know, they were putting plywood on all the walls because they're all concrete, so we got to attach them to. And then he shows me a picture of this rock wall back here, and it's like a real rock wall. And he says, do they want plywood on this? You know, and I'm like, no. I said, you know, we need to have a meeting out there. So I could think the next day we're here, the day after, doing our little walkthrough.
You know? Well, it's construction. Companies generally, they go by blueprints. They go by what's on the architectural drawings. And if they have to make creative decisions or last minute changes, they don't like that at all. They just don't like that kind of thing. And so there was a lot of tension. He didn't really, I don't know how much of it got directed
at
you. I got a lot of the construction guys kind of venting to me, like, oh, he wants to do this and that, and he didn't tell us, we didn't know that. I'm like, just listen to what Ben wants to do.
I almost got in a fistfight with their speaker guy.
Really?
I kept telling him what to do. We're going to hide this here, we're going to put that there. No, we're going to do it like this. Dude, no, you don't understand. And then I think you showed up that day from out of town. You came, and I go, Mark.
I smoothed it over. I remember that day. Yeah. Well, we have vintage speakers in here, and they hate working with vintage speakers because they like to sell us speakers at a profit. So I bought the speakers separately and had them just install the speakers, which they were not that happy about, you know. But they didn't make as much money doing that. So then they were already ornery when they were in here, and I think he just set them off.
I think I shot him with my nail gun. I was kind of, you know, had a little duel going on. But we hit them in the corners. But I'm looking at one right now. If you really look at them, you could just see it like the vintage, you know.
Yeah, they're 70s Kenwood speakers, I think. So.
Different layers.
I just like that old school speaker look.
Yeah. Oh, they sound good.
The sound is good, too.
Sound great. Yeah.
So in terms of building out this place, what's your aim, I guess, when you're building a new bar to try and differentiate it from what you've done in the past?
Yeah, that's it right there. There's just so many,
perfectly not perfect.
Right? Yeah, it's never ending too. I mean, there's so many designs you can't.
Well, there's different types of tiki bars, right? There's the nautical tiki bar. There's a Caribbean look. There's the classic Hawaii look. There's the home bar look. We weren't really going for a look. I based my thinking on it from some of the bars that I had been to that I really love, like Tiki Tea, Smuggler's Cove.
That happens a lot too. Is like during like our beginning initial process of texting back and forth a million times, or going like Mark would come out and I'd drive to different tiki bars and stuff, and so he could experience. But I always like grab just like a little bit of the inside of whatever they're. You know, your feeling or whatever.
Yeah.
And then just kind of run with that. And it just kind of unfolds.
But one thing it's important to me in all the bars that I own, actually, because I'm pretty, even though I have a lot of different bars, I'm very involved in the design of all of them. It's just something that I find a lot of fun. And one thing that I really wanted was when you sit down and you look around, there's everywhere your eyes go, there's something new to look at. I like...
Tons of layers.
The word clutter sounds like a negative, but I like cluttered bars. Like, you go to Tiki Tea,
yeah.
It's like a smorgasbord for your eyes. Everywhere you turn, there's something weird to look at, and that's what I like. I have a couple other bars like that they're not Tiki bars, but you just...
Stella's.
They're just, yeah, Stella's is one of them. But
disco in the back, yeah. It's so cool.
But I kind of like that, you know, weird stuff everywhere.
And you got to add, too.
No white walls. That's right. Another big one.
They're just coming out of Mark.
I've learned all the catchphrases from Ben.
Yeah. I got no more white walls. New ones.
No tiki drama. That's a big one. There's so much tiki drama.
There is. There's a lot of drama in tiki. So we're just saying.
You go on like Facebook posts and people are just freaking complaining about stuff. Tiki's supposed to be fun.
Yeah. People create cliques within these kind of groups. Like, yeah. It's a tiki group. Yep. We just want to have fun. You don't have to have your own set of tiki people within the tiki group.
Oh, yeah. He got so drunk last night. Well, of course, you know, that was my, you know, that's what I wanted to do. You know? I'm here to get drunk, you know.
And speaking of getting drunk, you brought in Martin Kate to do the bar program as well.
Yeah.
How much influence did you have on that? Or did you direct him, or did you just give him free rein to say...
No, I told Martin Cade exactly what the recipes were going to be, and he just said, okay. Not really. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Taught him everything he knows.
Yeah, I've been to several of his bars, and I contacted him just think out of the blue. Just, you know, hey, how'd you like to, you know, we'll pay you as a consultant. Do you ever do that kind of thing? Or do you not want to put your name on somebody else's bar? And he said, I do that, but I'm very cautious about it. I have to basically, you know, grill me. He had to grill me and interview me and ask me what my vision for it was, and you know, the drink program, how important that was. Am I using it as an afterthought, or am I really going to take it seriously? He wanted to know a lot of elements about the design, and he was very cautious about, you know, saying yes to being a consultant on a project that he has no control over the day he walks out the door.
Yeah.
So I talked to him about my vision for it, and also some of the other bars that I own. I think he did some research online, you know, and he agreed. You know, so I paid him to come in, and he didn't write the whole menu. He wrote much of it. We also have another in-house guy that's a cocktail guy that wrote some of the drink recipes. Martin tweaked them or changed them a little. He was very instrumental in the presentations of the drinks, because, you know, a tiki drink is not just about what's in it, it's also how it looks. That's part of the whole show of it. And
yeah.
And then he came in and trained our bartenders, and that was very helpful. He was here for a week training them.
He does like a whole presentation.
He gave us this big presentation on the history of tiki.
Nice.
How it started from Down Beach all the way up to today, the death of tiki in the 80s and 90s, and the resurgence. And so our bartenders kind of started out with a working knowledge, the ability to converse with customers about historical tiki stuff as well as the drinks, you know, and mm-hmm. that helps a lot too. So he was great.
Nice.
Yeah.
So package perfect.
Well, I figured, you know, you never know, this might be my only tiki bar ever, right? So I wanted to make sure it was something that I'm proud of. And like I said, I wasn't doing it for money, so I wanted it to just be something I'm really proud of. And I wanted to have the best people help with that. So we also got some really cool artists involved, and like Dave Hansen carved the posts on the bar, He's a woodworker from the Milwaukee area. What else do we have in here?
Anthony Carpenter
did some great artwork. He did a couple of murals in here.
Glass.
Yeah, we got...
Those murals are awesome.
And we have Ken Pleasant, who did exact reproductions of the Witco Playboy Mansion carvings.
That's from Chicago.
Chicago Playboy.
Right by the pool of Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, there's a famous picture that appeared on Playboy magazine of Hugh Hefner sitting in front of these Witco carvings next to a pool, surrounded by beautiful Playboy models. And
frolicking in the pool.
And that picture, I think it's in the Book of Tiki, isn't it? So it's just a famous picture with Witco carvings in the background. And so we had Ken, who is the grandson.
Grandson-in-law,
yeah.
Friend of mine.
Huh? Carve exact reproductions of them. He did a great job. They look exactly the same. And then what else do we have here? We got some...
Jason, smoking tikis, all these big ones.
Yeah. We have some lamps that were made, tiki lamps that were made by Jason Shelfow, who makes, basically turns really cool tiki mugs into lamps. I'm sure you've probably seen his stuff.
And is that float one of his?
All the lamps, all the table lamps. We have like six of them in here.
I thought that one looked familiar.
Yeah.
I think I've seen that one on his Instagram.
Yeah.
Steven Tyler's shrunken head.
That's Thor, right?
In the case, yeah.
It's Thor to that, yeah.
That's what he kept calling it. All these...
It looks like Steven Tyler, but it's not.
All these plumber guys are like, they're all like, really? That's Steven Tyler's shrunken head? It's like, oh my God, dude, seriously? It's like, it's funny. Got a couple more Thors over there. There's OB Tiki from Ocean Beach did the door. He kept sending us
carved the door.
And Mark said, I want it more evil and sick. And OB, he's like, look, he's telling me, should I do like a dude?
It didn't look like angry enough. I wanted an angry tiki on the door.
Yeah, to greet everybody on their way out, basically.
Yeah.
It's classic.
And then the furniture I got on eBay, I collected it over like a 6-month period. I basically just bought a couch here, a couple chairs there, stuff that looked very... mid-century modern, funky. So a lot of green and orange colors. And I thought because it was all vintage and it was not like in pristine mint condition when I bought it. I bought stuff that I could get the couch for $600. I didn't buy like a mint condition, $10,000, mid-century modern, because I knew it was going to get a lot of use, a lot of abuse.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want drunk people spilling their drinks.
Well, they do.
And amazing
so,
how much.
But it's a year later and the stuff's all still. Nothing's broken. It's amazing.
Anymore, man.
we've had to do a little bit of repairs to some of the upholstery, but it's minor stuff.
One is gone. It was over here. I think it was like the shrink looking one. You lay on a shrink table.
No, that's back there.
Is it back there? Yeah. Okay. I think we had to put some new legs on the interior of it so it wouldn't.
Yeah.
At the beginning, but yeah. It's great,
but it just gives it kind of a home bar feel too when you have like vintage furniture, because no bars do that. Bars always buy like new stuff and they buy it from a furniture contractor.
Exactly.
So I just wanted to get stuff on eBay.
He's got a moving company, a guy that does for all his other bars and stuff, and he showed up like on a Sunday or something like that, and it's like they called me up. I think Zach or Kevin called me up and said, can you handle this? Yeah, I'll handle it. And so the big van, and we parked it in the alley, and we had to bring everything through the basement, through the kitchen. And we're unloading everything and bringing it in here. After stuff, Mark's been like collecting stuff for forever, to put in here. And so then we get to the furniture, and I'm like, oh my God. At first, I was like,
yeah, he didn't know what to expect.
At first, I'm like, oh, what is he thinking, And then once we started putting it together, it just completely flowed. Yeah. It was awesome. Yeah, it was really, it's just.
Yeah, the color scheme in here is kind of orange and green. Those are my two, the colors that I wanted to kind of be most represented. So the floor is actually green. It looks kind of like a green lagoon.
Mm-hmm.
We had them stain the concrete, and they had to redo it because it was not green enough for me at first.
That's what that put us back a little bit. But yeah. We're lucky enough to have a warehouse across the street down here. The owner of this building or property put us up.
Our landlord.
And so we were able to like prefab a lot of stuff. Like we split all the bamboo over there. We did the huts over there. We did, it was kind of neat. So we had this huge warehouse. My son and I were in next to the char bar.
Yeah.
And we were like stealing Wi-Fi from them and stuff. And playing music. But it was neat. You know, finally they got the floors done. But I was just there yesterday at Char Bar, and looking in the sticker, Bamber's paint stickers were still on the warehouse. It's really funny.
Nice.
I'm trying to think what else. Oh, we have a Doug Horn piece over here called Devo Cat that's become kind of one of the signature pieces of artwork in here. People talk about a lot, and we actually have our mugs that we just released today, our mm-hmm. 1 year anniversary mug release.
Yeah.
One of the mugs is that cat.
Coming in there, right now.
So. Yep. Being delivered as we speak.
Yeah.
But yeah. You guys did great work. It looks great.
Thank you.
This is our
Thanks.
First time here, so there is a lot to take in.
Yeah, there is for sure, but that's good. That's what you want, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you don't get bored. You got to come back again.
Lots of layers.
If there's a spot that's empty, that's what people are going to fixate on. That's what their eyes are going to get drawn to, or if there's a white spot just somewhere.
Yeah.
So
there's no white walls in here.
Nope.
not even a little piece.
Today, when you were upstairs doing whatever, and we were down here talking and stuff, and I played my game of how many tikis are in here. I counted 51.
51 tikis.
51 tikis wow. in here.
We may have the highest tikis That's per square foot.
Tipsy factor, max. Tipsy, max.
Tikis per square inch.
Yeah, 1,100 square foot with 51 tikis. Yeah. It's crazy. That's not including the mugs or any of that.
That's yeah, just like that's wood, just wood the tikis. Carving, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, these tiki bars that open and they don't have any tikis.
That's right.
It drives me nuts. Yeah.
It's not a tiki bar.
That's not a tiki bar. That's a tropical bar. Yeah. That's not the same thing as a tiki bar.
Exactly.
And the press gets a hold of it.
The press calls everything tiki. If you have a Mai Tai on your menu, you're a tiki bar. But it's not, you know.
Sometimes even if you don't have a Mai Tai, it's like, ugh. Yeah. Like Pacific Seas in L.A., the one I did, they're just calling themselves. They're not calling themselves a tiki bar. They're just calling themselves Pacific Seas Bar. So.
That is a beautiful bar, though.
That's
for anybody who hasn't been there that's listening to this, it's an amazing bar.
Mark's come out a couple times, and I brought him there. And, I don't know why I was being the DD.
You were the DDD that night,
weren't you? I'm like, what am I doing? I brought you and Joe.
You were in one of your non-drinking phases that lasts for about 3 days.
I was probably trying to focus. But
I have those once in a while, too.
Times. And we got to go back. When next time you're in LA, you got to come. We got to go back because there's a new bar program there. It's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, they got a little bit of criticism when they opened that there wasn't the drinks weren't that great, but I guess they've
I think he was going for the 1930s drinks.
Okay.
Yeah, so people didn't know what to expect back then in the 30s. It's like,
well, I heard when they opened that they didn't really have a menu. They would, like, the bartenders would just tell you what they could make with what they had.
It wasn't a good
thing.
It's not a good thing.
No, it's not
you
a good thing.
You tell people all the time, you tell bartenders, you say, you guys got to get your drinks right or they're going to attack you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know. And they had L.A. heads, big heads. Oh, yeah, I know. And they were, they're just doing their little thing and they're not, 2 ounces, 2.5 ounces instead of one, blah, blah, blah. Can't do it. It's got
to
be.
The cocktails are pretty important to a tiki bar, but they're not the only thing that's important. And I think that there's two types of tiki bars that I've noticed, and some take the cocktails really seriously, but they don't take the design seriously at all. Some take the design really seriously, but they have crappy cocktails. And I think you got to get them both right to be a great cocktail. It's really important that both of those things are on point. And the whole point of tiki is that you're transported into a fantasy world, another world where you forget there isn't anything outside.
Escapism,
escapism. You don't want windows. You just want to be transported into another universe, and you got to get both the design and the cocktails right to do that.
Absolutely. Being Mark down here, you would never know you're in a basement in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Right?
Ever. So, mission accomplished.
Tiki number one.
Yeah. Exactly. That was going to be my next thing. So you said you wanted to build something you were proud of. Clearly, you've done that. You were named Critiki's number one tiki bar in the world.
I tell you.
By tiki people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was shocking to me, but I got to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt because all the bars that were on that list and even the honorable mentions on that list, any one of them, I would be happy just to be in the same company. If we were just in the honorable mention, I would have been thrilled. I mean, yeah. I can't say with any certainty whatsoever that Tiki Cat is a better bar than Smuggler's Cove or False Idol or Mai Tai, I mean, it's just, it's new, so it's a hot new thing and shiny new thing. No, I'm not saying it's not a great tiki bar. I'm not going to, denigrate my own bar, but all those bars are great. So who's to say what's really number one and what's not?
It was just a good,
the people have spoken.
It was fun. It was a fun seeing that. Whoa, look at that. That's cool. Makes it feel good.
It was, you know, people that don't know anything about tiki, they take that kind of stuff really seriously. They're like, so it's good for PR for us.
Yeah, absolutely. People who are looking for the best tiki bars or they're traveling, people are going to Critiki. So when they see the number one tiki bar in the world is in Kansas City, that automatically becomes a destination.
Yeah.
There's nothing in Kansas City that we would ever have come here for if it wasn't for Tiki Cats, I mean.
You know what it helped a lot with is getting the word out just to the general public that isn't into Tiki. It was, you know, that's the type of thing that the media really likes to write about. They like to write those kind of like ranking type stories. And so when we got named number one, the Kansas City Press really picked up on it and it helped with the local people that don't even know what Tiki is. They've never been to a Tiki bar in their lives. Most people... And this is true of probably 90% of the general populace thinks a tiki bar is a beach bar in Mexico or in Puerto Rico or something.
That's what they think of as a tiki bar.
And when I tell them, well, a real tiki bar shouldn't have windows, it should be an escape from reality, they don't, like, what? What do you mean? No. You know? But then when they come down here, they're like, oh, this is what you meant. It's so hard to explain in words to people what a great tiki bar is.
Yeah, without a visual representation.
Without them ever having been to one, I've tried to do it many times, and I just get frustrated trying to explain it in words. Martin Kate is better at it than I am. Maybe he's done it a lot more than I have, but just trying to explain to someone who's never been to one of these classic real tiki bars in words is real difficult. So
around the time that it was announced that Critiki named you guys the number one tiki bar in the world, there had been a little buzz going on about this Art of Tiki show and the whole gallery having been purchased before the gallery opened, and nobody knew who it was.
John Lasseter bought it.
Yeah, it was John Lasseter, wasn't it? So I think you're getting it to the point that you're going to make is that it was me that bought it, and that's now become public. So, but I didn't want to keep it a secret forever, but I wanted to keep it a secret until the show was over, because I wanted to go to the show and I didn't want everybody like grilling me about it. And I'm kind of an introvert, and I didn't want to be like a rock star that everybody had to talk to at the show. I just wanted to go and enjoy it. So nobody knew it was me. I was just kind of incognito at this show out in L.A. And it was really fun to walk around and watch people looking at the artifacts that I just purchased. And I knew that I had purchased them, but nobody else did. But everybody kept – well, not everybody. Several people were asking me, are you the one that bought them? I have a feeling you're the one that bought them. And I denied it. And then I asked him to start a rumor that John Lasseter
– my story.
So he started a rumor.
I got to tell my story. My story goes, okay, Mark sends me an email or whatever, text. He goes, hey, what do you think about these tikis? And I said, it's a great collection. I said, but I would you know, wait till after the show, maybe pick them up, you know, non-gallery prices, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Mark says, hey, okay, whatever.
But then it would be all picked over.
Then I don't hear from separate. Mark for like 2 weeks or something. And he says, hey, I'm coming to L.A. He goes, to that show. He goes, you want to meet me for a drink or something? Sure. I go up, and then it's like 6 or something like that, 6:30, and I text him, hey, I'm here, and he says, he says something like, you know, why don't you come to the back room, and I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? Oh, PG, what's he talking about? You know, I said, let's go to Tiki Tea and go get a drink, you know? So I just come to the back room for a minute. So I go to the back room, or middle room, whatever, before the show. Mark's standing there, looking around. He goes, wait, this is pretty rad, huh? I'm like, yeah, it's totally rad, you know, looking around. And I kind of saw something on his face. And I'm like, oh, you son of a bitch. You're the one who bought the shit. Yeah. And he's all like, he's just smiling. That's the way he does. I'm like, right. And he's smiling. And I'm like, oh, no. And then he says, hey, do you think you can help me, like, create a diversion? You know, because I don't want to be in the spotlight. So that's when I came up with the John Lasseter thing, because I'd done work for Lasseter. Mm-hmm. And so then I ended up telling the three mouths, the three biggest mouths. I think I text Liz Carza. She's great.
She's awesome.
She's awesome.
She does.
You want something in the tiki world? Spread out. Talk to Liz.
John O.
He was at the thing.
He knows everybody. He's always talking about tiki stuff.
And then I think Spike too from Hilly Girls. I think I sent him a text and say, hey, because he likes to collect stuff. So that was a good diversion.
The rumor was out there that John Lasseter is one of the Pixar founders, and he's. He's got way more money than I'll ever dream of having. But so it was a pretty easy story for people to believe. It was a very temporary diversion. It only worked for like a week, and then people started to not believe it.
It was pretty good.
So then, the reason I bought them all is, and I didn't buy every one. I mean, some of them had already been purchased before I contacted the gallery, but I got I think about 90% of the stuff. And I thought it was important to keep it all together as one collection, because if you have 200 different people buying items, it'll never be together again, ever, right? And it's just such a cool collection. I just wanted it to be kept together. And the other thing I wanted is for it to be seen in public and to not be in people's private collections, 200 different people spread around the West Coast, whatever. And that stuff will never be seen again, you know? It'll be in people's home bars and whatever, and only their friends will see it. So I just wanted to kind of keep it as one collection and use it for another tiki bar. So I do plan to put all of those items into my next tiki bar.
Okay. Any idea where that's going to be?
The tipsy factor on that one's going to be pretty gnarly.
It will, depending on how large it is.
51 in here, I counted this morning.
I want to do a larger version of an authentic... cool vintage tiki bar look with food as well as cocktails. We don't have food at Tiki Cat because we don't have a kitchen here. I'm not gonna talk about where I'm planning to do it right now. But,
okay. Fair enough. I could squeeze that.
I bug him all the time. Hey, where's you? No, I'm not telling you nothing.
Yeah, you talk about Liz Carsa talking. Dude, you talk more than Liz Carsa ever did. If I told you only, where, tomorrow I'd get people texting me. I heard it's going to be...
Only
be the top post on Tiki Central.
You want me to spread the word about Tiki Cat? Yes, spread the word.
Okay, well, yeah, when I'm ready for you to announce it, if I tell Ben something, the whole world hears about it.
No. Only if you want me to.
So,
I'm always the one to learn last.
Like, not always.
That's just because you've forgotten already. It just makes its way back around to you.
He forgot that I told him.
He's like, that sounds really familiar. So, do you know the origin of that collection or where it came from?
He was into tiki when a lot of the tiki bars were closing.
Okay.
And he had the money to be able to purchase, and he had, I guess, the time to go and travel to the places that were closing and buy the stuff.
Okay.
So that's, he kind of cobbled it together over a 15-year period. And then he had too much stuff. He had to keep moving it from, every time he would move to a new house, he had to move this whole collection. It was getting kind of out of hand, I think, and he just said, he kept what he wanted, and then, which is a small fraction of the total items, and the rest he sold.
So how many pieces were in that collection?
I purchased, I believe it was around 500 pieces.
Oh, wow.
Total. Some of them are much larger and more grandiose than others, but.
Pause. All right.
Snapping pictures.
Yeah.
Got to document everything.
Exactly.
For the documentary.
Yeah. The stuff's still online too, so you can go. You can go onto the La Luz de Jesus Gallery, which is in Silver Lake, LA, California. And on their website, you can still find all the items that I bought.
Awesome. So do you have no need for a specific address? Are they in Kansas City or?
No, they're in Michigan. That's where I live.
Yeah.
And so they're there, but that's not necessarily where I plan to keep them forever. But they're in storage in a very secure, fireproofed warehouse. So.
Okay. Well, that's good.
You visit them often?
I do. Actually, I do sometimes. Yeah, it's right next door to my office, this warehouse. Okay. And I go in there sometimes and just, like, drool over them for a little while, and then I go back to my office, touch them, get naked.
put masks on and dance around.
I was just in an independent movie where that happened. I was like playing this weird fetish tiki guy, and this chick was
dancing.
How
fitting.
Yeah.
It's called Franklin.
I bet you were good at that. Yeah. That role was written for you.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I was actually in Forbidden Island on the laptop. I'm like, no. It was a really, really cheeseball scene. It was funny that.
Hey, what is the name of this movie?
It's called Frankly a Mess.
Okay.
Is it about tiki?
Or? It's about fetish. It's a parody on fetish.
Hmm. Is it on your IMDb page now?
I don't know.
Do you have an IMDb page?
I do. I think. A Shag movie. Mm-hmm. Storage Wars. Yeah. I don't know what else. Something else. These little bit things are fun.
That's awesome.
I always used to tell everybody I'm a press whore, so anything helps.
Exactly. So, what's next for Tiki Cat?
Well, every year we'll do a new mug release with anniversary stuff. But what's next is that we're not going to change anything. In other words, the drinks are not going to change.
No plan for like a revolving or seasonal menu?
We do have a few of those that we put on for temporarily sometimes. But when I mean the drinks are going to change, I mean we're not going to start trying to make more money by pre-batching stuff. We're not going to try to use cheaper ingredients in order to have higher, margins on the drinks. We're not going to hire inexperienced bartenders just because, we want to save some money or whatever. The drink program is not going to change at all. In fact, Martin Cate specified that in his consulting contract that if it does, we have to take his name off have his name on our website or have him be associated with this place. He doesn't want to be associated with a bar that has crappy drinks, which is completely logical. So that's just something that we really take seriously. And we're not going to remodel the place to make it look brighter or we're not going to put windows in. Nothing's going to change. Good. Hopefully people's taste won't change either, and they'll continue to like it as much as they do.
I think with where Tiki is at right now, it's just getting bigger and bigger. So I don't think there's any chance of that.
You know how you can tell that the Tiki thing is growing? These mug manufacturers are overwhelmed right now. Uh-oh. Crazy Al's coming? Oh, no. We're in trouble. Crazy Al just walked into the room.
Get out.
Crazy Al.
Go home.
You're not on this podcast. Sorry. Talk about a media whore.
Al?
Are you guys recording down here? Are there pictures?
That's right.
I love Al. He's awesome.
Of the cameras.
Al's wild, yeah. I've been knowing him for too long, so it's all good.
Another thing we're not going to do with Tiki Cat is like turn into a chain or anything like that. The Hopcat, I did do that, except each Hopcat location is designed differently. There's no two that look alike, so it's kind of the anti-chain. Like, they don't look, you go to one Hopcat and it's completely different vibe than the others, but they still have all the beer on tap that we, that's the one thing that's the same. But with Tiki Cat, I think this will be our only location. So.
Cool.
Yeah. Individuals.
Yeah, I might, if I do another Tiki bar, it just won't be called Tiki Cat.
Yeah.
Awesome. Called Mark's. Mark's Tiki Collection.
Mark's Tiki
Mahalo Ring. Mark's.
Mark's Tiki Collection.
Mark's Museum.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Make some money off that collection for now. So open up your small gallery in Michigan.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Somebody suggested I do that, like kind of while I'm looking for a location for the next place. Charge admission for people to come in and look at the collection.
Exactly.
But that was the person who suggested that to me was a tiki fanatic, and he's really into tiki, and we kind of surround ourselves in our little bubble of tiki with other people that are into that stuff. But you have to understand, that's like 0.1% of the population. I don't think I'd probably get, like, if I did that in Grand Rapids, Michigan, if I opened up my warehouse for people to come in, and I'd probably get like 4 people a day that would show up to look. It wouldn't. Now, if that was the case in maybe L.A., you'd probably get a couple hundred people a day maybe, but Michigan, you're not going to get many people that care about that stuff. What they care about is going into a cool bar, having drinks, and looking at it, but they don't care about just the decor only as a museum piece. That's the bubble that we surround ourselves
in. Yeah. Well, handing out, glasses of rum as they walk in.
Then I got to have a liquor license and all that.
Of course, there you go.
Different insurance.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for sitting down and talking with us.
Awesome.
Congrats again on the 1-year anniversary. That's super cool.
Well, thank you, man.
The place looks amazing.
Thank you. You're going to stick around to have drinks, right?
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Ben, thank you.
Thank you.
As well.
Awesome.
It's great meeting you guys in person, finally. So, I'll post the links up to the Instagram and the websites for Tiki Cat and Bamboo Ben. Those will be in the show notes for the podcast. And Thanks again, and until next time. Akole Maluna, y'all.
Aloha.
Mahalo.